Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to call the BAT Oversight Committee meeting of Wednesday, July 9, 2014 to order. Can we have the roll, please, Kim? Good morning.
Good morning. Chair Dodd?
Here.
Vice Chair Bates? Absent. Commissioner Campos?
Present.
Commissioner Glover? Absent. Commissioner Pruszynski? Absent. Commissioner Kwan? Absent. Commissioner Sartipi?
Present.
Commissioner Tissier?
Here.
Commissioner Wiener?
Present.
We have a quorum. Or there's Commissioner Wiener present.
So we do need, Andy, we do need one. Madam Chair, would you?
Be happy to.
You are hereby deputized.
Okay.
Very good. With that, will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Kim, do you have that all-important announcement to make?
I do.
Thank you.
As authorized by state law, I am making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount.
Well done. Okay, we have the consent items before us. Today we have a motion by Chair Wirth.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Tissier. Remember where we are. Any further discussion or any discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. Thank you. We'll move on to item number five is a briefing on agency on-call bench contracts. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Commissioners. In recent months, there has been some discussion about the bench contracts that MTC manages, and there was a request that we provide an overview on our bench process and provide some general information on what is active within our agency. I'll be kicking that off, and Peter Lee will be finishing off the presentation. I'd also like to note that we have with us Denise Rodriguez, who is our senior for the contract administrations unit, and she's available to answer any more technical questions you may have. I thought first it would be helpful to share with you the definition of a bench contract to make sure we're all have the same idea of what it is. It's a pre-qualified panel of consultants who can provide on-call assistance for a specified type of professional services. And MTC and BATA have used these professional services ranging from architectural, engineering, legal, and banking. There's a gamut we have used. We've established these benches most often by issuing an RFQ, where consultants are generally pre-qualified based on skills, knowledge, experience, and their hourly rates. The majority of this work is executed by task order. Once the bench is set up, a contract is awarded, and then task orders are issued on an on-needs basis. In addition to BATA having these bench contracts, all the other sister agencies, MTC, SAFE, BAFA, BAHA, have all taken an opportunity to issue work under them to help them execute their responsibilities. These bench contracts are valuable to our agency for a number of reasons. I think most importantly, they help us nimbly respond to unanticipated projects. They also allow us to flexibly tap into an expertise and experience that is rarely available through a single traditional contract procurement. And lastly, it allows the agencies to divide work up into more bite-sized pieces to allow more competitive opportunity for small business and disadvantaged business enterprises. This productivity and flexibility has made it very popular within the agencies, and we have more benches now than we ever have had in the past. And I think that's a good segue into the PowerPoint if you want to proceed to the next slide. Up on the screen is what is an attachment one in your memo packet. And to briefly orient you on this slide, you see that MTC certainly has, right now has 17 active benches throughout our agencies. To start from the left-hand side, you'll see that there are four contracts that have $0 amount awarded to their firms right now. For example, number one, the investment banking one. This was recently approved by this committee. There are 18 firms that are qualified there, but since it's new, no contracts have yet been awarded. At the opposite end of the graph, you'll see number 17. This is the construction management and design services bench. We divided that into two pieces to provide more visibility as to how that work has been executed between the two specialties. Peter will be providing more details on the projects that have been executed there, as well as the firms that are qualified. So I won't go any further other than to note that that bench is the one that has had the highest contract values awarded to it, and this committee has the jurisdiction to provide oversight for it. So then moving on to the second attachment in your packet, it's attachment 2, and you should have received a bigger copy, 11 by 17, if you're interested in looking at it. It's slightly easier to read than the hard copy that was included in the packet. That shows, again, on the left-hand column, it shows the 17 bench contracts that we have active right now in the agency. And then along the top of the table, you'll see all the firms that have been pre-qualified for those benches. That totals to 104 firms that are pre-qualified. Now, some of them have qualified for more than one firm. For more than one bench. And the way that you can tell that, if you pick a firm and you go down the column where there's a check, that's a bench that it's been pre-qualified for. If it's yellow highlight, that means that a contract has been awarded to it. Of note, beyond the 104 firms that are qualified, we have issued 63 contracts through the various 17 benches. And of those 63 contracts, 14 were to small business enterprises. You can see those. Those are the blue highlighted firms. 9 of those contracts were the small business enterprises. And lastly, I would note the pink highlighted firms at the top. Those are firms that have contracts of value greater than $4 million. So we have 5 contracts that are greater than $5 million that have been awarded through these benches. The last thing I wanted to share with you is how we actually award the work through our bench contracts. As I mentioned, we typically issue an RFP or an RFQ, and I'll talk just kind of generally how we do it for non-architectural engineering work. Peter will cover the specific guidance that we need to follow for those work. Once we have the bench established, we then give consideration to the rating that was given during the evaluation during the procurement, and then we assess the price and their capacity to perform their work given the schedule that we need. Once we've selected a consultant, then we can issue a task order. If it's more than $100,000, we do bring it to a committee for approval of the appropriate committee. I would also note that having a place on the bench does not guarantee work for a contractor, though we do make an effort to make sure that work can be, where possible, spread throughout. Lastly, I'd note that the Executive Director Management Memorandum for Contracts does not have very much guidance for staff on the procedures and process for awarding bench contracts and task orders. So staff is working with the Office of General Counsel to update that to provide more details for staff to follow. We will be returning later this calendar year to this committee to provide more details on this revised EDMM. And with that, I'll turn it over to Peter, and he can provide more detail on the Construction Management Design Services bench from 2011.
Good morning, Commissioners. Peter Lee with Bata Staff. So I'm just going to focus primarily on the last two columns here on the chart of the agency benches. This is the 2011 design services and construction management contracts that were handled under Bata. So just to run you through some of the big projects and small projects that we did. We delivered the canopy renovation of the San Francisco Oakland Bay Bridge. We had BAFA execute a number of contracts for the development of the express lane network that went to the benches. We had a very successful program, the seismic program, where we retrofitted the Antioch and Dunbarton bridges. We kick-started both the design and construction oversight of those projects with our on-call benches. And we've also done smaller projects such as ramp metering repairs in the region with one of our CM firms that was inspecting the repair work. So overall, that the 2011-2013 bench of design services and construction managers, we had over 56 different contracts or task orders assigned to the various firms. So we had contracts ranging in $8 million task order. That was for an express lane project approval and environmental documentation project. That was one single project, down to projects that were down on the order of $8,000. So it rained the whole gambit. We have projects, like I said, for the express lanes, but as well as for 375 Beale, toll plaza improvements, fast track improvements. We reacted basically very nimbly to all the requests that have come in to assist the region in our transportation network. So we had 14 firms in our bench. 13 of 14 of those firms received contracts. The design services contracts are over on the left. The construction management firms are on the right. Some firms only received one task order. Others received multiple ones, like PB here. So there was a wide range. We selected most of this work was A&E work, architectural engineering work, so it had to follow a qualifications-based selection process generally. And most of these work, we went back out to our individual benches, submitted a mini procurement, is what we call it. We had a competition within our bench for each one of these tasks, and we made a selection in that process, and we brought it back to this board for approval. So going back for the new bench, we have a new bench of contracts that we established earlier this year, work that we've already come to this board seeking approval, the Richmond-San Rafael running lane and bike access for the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. That project came several months ago. We have the Gateway Park project that was the next item on the agenda. We have work renovating the Bridge Yard building at the Bay Bridge that came several months ago. And we will at BAFA be coming forward in the next couple of months with new contracts there for PS&E work on 880 as well as construction management for our 680 South project on express lanes. So that's work that is on that will be coming forward as part of our new venture contracts. Some has been approved and some hasn't. So I just wanted to run through the type of projects and the type of work that we've been issuing, and we can answer any questions that many
thank you.
Have.
Any questions? Commissioner Campos?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the work that staff put into the presentation. I wanted to begin by asking you, going back to the memo that talks about 14 of the 104 firms that have been qualified are certified as small business, disadvantaged business enterprises. Can you tell us what the definition of that is, of small business, disadvantaged business enterprise?
That would be the state definition of SBE, small business enterprise, the California state definition. So those 14 firms were certified in California as SBE firms.
And what would those businesses look like? I mean, what kind of business is included in that definition?
Well, the state defines small business throughout all NAICS codes or all work areas, and the level of income or net receipts varies based on the level of income for those businesses. So these would be the construction management or design firms or those areas that the benches are certified for. So these firms would be certified as SBEs in their area of work. So if it was construction management, they would be certified as an SBE in construction management services.
Would any women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses be included in that definition?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you are a DBE, you're automatically an SBE in the state of California.
Okay. So if you look at the numbers, that means of the 63 contracts that were awarded, only 9, as I understand it, have been awarded to SBEs, DBEs. So that's about 14.2% of the contracts that the agency has awarded. Would that be a correct number?
Yeah, that's correct.
But that's just in this area.
Yeah, I would also note that one thing I didn't mention is that many of the prime consultants that are not DBE, SBE, have sub-consultants who are DBE, SBE, and that was just too much information to try to include in here. So these are just the primes that are that we see there in the blue shading.
We can only go by the numbers you're giving us, so right. If you have that information, I think that would be helpful. I do think it is disappointing to see such a small percentage of contracts going to what are defined to be small business, disadvantaged business enterprises. Beyond the percentage in terms of the number of contracts, what is the total amount of the contracts that, the agency awarded in this area?
Well, for the 2011 bench, so the two right-hand columns, the, dollar amounts are it's around $35 million for 17A and 17B, the two right columns here in the chart. So that's the start. There's a dollar amount for each one, but that was the most recently completed bench, so that's easier.
So let's take the 63 contracts that you awarded. Is there a total amount of the value of those 63 contracts?
Yes, approximately $34
million. $34
million. Yes.
And of the nine contracts for small business, disadvantaged business enterprises, what is the value of those nine contracts?
I would have to add that all up to get you the value. But I should say, out of the seven, those two benches of contracts in 11, those are just the prime firms. There's 14 primes. They are teams. And just I can give you a list of that afterward. And in those teams, there are about 80 DVSBB certified firms in those teams. So there's a breakout. But like you said, it's not broken out that way here. So.
I mean, I think that I would hope that we get to a point where we actually know those numbers. It does trouble me that you don't know the percentage or the overall value of the contracts that were awarded to, these firms, you know, with a percentage of small business, disadvantaged business enterprise entities receiving contracts. I would think that we would have that information, so I think it would be good for me to understand. It's one thing to get a contract, but not all contracts are made the same. They're not all equal, and so I'd like to know what the value of the nine contracts is relative to all the other contracts that were awarded. I also would like to know how does a firm learn about these projects, about these possible contracts?
So for this round, for the construction manager design service, we actually, when we go out to bid, we can go out to bid to award for 3 years. We went out to bid early, opted out of just extending the current contracts. We post all of our formal procurements on the MTC website, and we have bid conferences after the fact. But in doing outreach to firms of all types, SBEs and DBEs included, one of the things that you hear again and again is once it's on the street, that's too late. Teams are already developed, or I don't have enough time to react. So what we did for this round of the construction management design service is we had an information session in advance of the procurement being issued so that all firms, whether they be large SBE or DBE firms or woman-owned firms, could come and talk to the project managers who actually assigned the work, learn about the types of projects that we issue under these on-calls, and let them know that this on-call procurement was coming in advance of it being put on the street. And then, of course, after it was published, we let them know about that opportunity once it was issued. But this way to give them advance notice. So that's one way, that's what we did for that. But in general, all of our formal procurements are posted on our website, and we'll be having more of those information sessions in advance of procurements being issued to give people more of a heads up and opportunity to team in advance of the procurement being issued.
Well, I would like to know more about the recruitment process. You know, I've actually managed contracts in the legal context as general counsel of the school district. And one thing that was surprising to me is how many qualified law firms and single practice, you know, lawyers didn't know about the possibilities that they had to apply for some of these services. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that the beauty of competitive contracting is that you want to get the best of the best, and that's not able, you're not able to do that unless you actually do the outreach, because I can tell you that there are many firms that don't know that these services are being competitively bidded, and I think that they would be available to do that, or at least, you know, to consider having that option. So I think that I appreciate that it's on the website. I appreciate that that there's an additional meeting that's happening. Do you have any relationships with professional organizations? Is there any kind of community outreach?
We do. So myself as the contract compliance manager, I work in something a couple areas. We work with the CalMentor program, which would be definitely related to the A&E work that we do here, and we let people know about the upcoming contracting opportunities in advance through that means, as well as working through something called the Business Outreach Committee, which is MTC and 14 other transit agencies in the region. And we're actually having a town hall event at AC Transit with community-based organizations to find out how to outreach to their constituents in a better format. And through that Business Outreach Committee, we also have quarterly technical assistance events to help people with bonding and insurance and things like that, and then as well as meet the buyer, meet the project manager, what we call speed dating for primes and subs so that they can learn and create partnership so that they can team on projects like the construction management design service. So we are doing other things, but I would definitely look forward to working with you and getting additional ideas.
Well, I think it would be useful. Thank you. I appreciate that. Maybe to get a list of the various organizations that you're working with. I would imagine that each member of this body has folks in their districts in their respective jurisdictions that perhaps could help spread the information. Going back to the question, and I'll be very brief, on the issue of the five firms that have executed contracts value of $4 million or more, are any of those contracts given to small business or disadvantaged business enterprises?
No, I don't. No, they were the small business firm on that list. Was Ghirardelli was the only certified prime in that regard. So they were not. They were doing CM work, and we were working in the design area.
Okay.
Those other projects.
Now, you said that there is a move to provide more specificity on the part of the executive director so that there's more guidance for staff. How is that going to happen? Is there like a change to existing policy? What does that look like?
That will be staff working with the Office of General Counsel and our executive office to update our executive director's memorandum on contracting to provide more detailed guidance on how the bench contract work is awarded after the initial bench is set. So as those task orders are issued for A&E work, as Peter and Melanie described, that's qualifications-based work, and then for other areas that isn't qualification-based, to really just provide much more direction. Right now we have an outline of guidance that we have for staff, but we'd like to be much more prescriptive in that guidance. So we'll be working to formally develop policies for that and bringing that back to committee for approval.
Just the final question. Seems like the largest bench deals with design services contracts. Are there any small business, disadvantaged business entities that are a part of that?
Yes. Yes, actually, in the new procurement of the 2014 bench, I think several of the CM firms, Zune, Ghirardelli, and some others are certified small business DBE firms that are on the list.
Well, again, I appreciate the presentation. I think it's very useful information. I think that this is an area where I do think that we have the opportunity to do better. For me, at least, I can only speak for myself, I think that 14.2 of the total number of contracts and who knows what percentage of the total value of the contracts, to me, it's not enough, and I don't know what that number is, but I do think that there are many diverse companies out there that can provide excellent work for the toll payers, and I think that we have an obligation to make sure that our contracting policies are done in such a way that it allows the full range of the diversity of our region to compete. So I look forward to working with you on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought I heard in the presentation that this is like the major contractors, and below then there was the subprime contractors. Can you tell me how many subprime contractors were below? Do you know?
I can say at least for the 2011 bench, I was just doing a real quick count. I mean, we have 14 firms, prime firms, and underneath that over 100 sub-consultants that work for each one of these.
So I think, look, if we're gonna start drilling down here, then you're going to have to give us the complete data.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have to let us know what were the subprime contractors also.
Sure.
Because largely when I see contracts at Alameda County, I see a lot of the subcontractors to be more of your minority firms. So I think if we're going to start throwing numbers around, we need to be accurate with our numbers and not just say that it was just, and I'm not faulting staff, but this is obviously picking up steam here. But you're just going to have to take the time to deal, John, and give us accurate numbers.
Commissioner Kwan?
Actually, I was just going to associate myself both of your comments because that's what I was going to say. I appreciate that Mr. Compos raises that. Many of us in our cities have been making a particular effort to get small and women and other more diverse workforce in our contract. So on a regional body, we'd like to see that too. And I think Scott's right that sometimes the way people can do that because they haven't had the experiences, they become subs on a larger contract. So I think that's something that we should look at, and we should also look at whether or not our bonding requirements might be an issue. Our contracts are pretty big, and even sometimes medium firms might not be able to do some of our bigger contracts. So I think it's an important thing for us to look at, though. Thank you.
Anybody else? I think you've got adequate feedback.
Yes, sir.
Peter and Melanie, thank you for the report this morning. With that, we'll proceed to item number 6. We have a contract amendment.
Good morning, Commissioners. Peter Lee with Data Staff. Item number 6 is a contract request for authorization for a contract amendment with 2 Island International for on-call design services to provide a separate project approval environmental documentation for the San Francisco Oakland Bay Bridge Oakland Bicycle Pedestrian Connection. This was part of the original scope for the Gateway Park project. Gateway Park, as you're probably aware, we've been working on for a number of years now with a number of partner agencies, including Caltrans, East Bay Regional Park, the City of Oakland, BCDC, to develop a regional park in the area of the Oakland Touchdown that is being vacated by the existing Bay Bridge. We have issued a notice for preparation for EIR for that project, and that's currently on the street, and currently we're in process of developing technical documents as well as the project report for approval of the park. And the intent there is to approve programmatically the maximum extent of a park to allow flexibility for follow-on projects, whether it be East Bay Regional Parks or other partner agencies, to develop elements of the park. Several years ago, we did secure approximately $30 million in state and federal transportation enhancement funds for a connection from West Oakland, basically West Grand, to the park area, to the Bay Bridge Trail. That funding has a deadline to start construction by early 2017. And what we would like to do is separate that project from the rest of Gateway Park because it has independent utility as a path so that we can get started on that work early and meet that deadline. So staff is requesting $650,000 to separate the document. And that work will be split approximately 40% to T.Y. Lynn International, who's the prime for the work, as well as 60% to the other environmental sub-consultants. There are a number of firms working for them to produce that work, large and small, that are listed in your memorandum. So staff recommend. We also have handed out a brief project update that I won't necessarily go through unless you have questions that you can look through. So staff recommends that the committee authorize the executive director or his designee to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with T.Y. Lynn to separate the environmental document of the bike path from the Gateway Park project. And staff's available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions?
I'll move approval.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Tissier and a second by Chair Wirth. So we have no public comment on this. Any further discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. Thank you, Peter. Okay, we have public comment at this time. And I do have one card, Ken Bukowski.
Hello, I'm Ken Bukowski, a videographer. Back in February, I went to 375 Beale, and the staff was nice to accommodate me to video record the inside and the progress of the construction. And I find of all the things on the channel, that's almost the most popular one. And so I asked to go back and go and record the progress of the construction, and now the public's not allowed in. I have to go through a... So anyway, I'd like to request the commission to ask the staff to allow me to go in there for 10 minutes, do like I did the last time, put on a hard hat, I was escorted through the building, and there was no problem. So I'd like to do that. And so for the benefit of the audience, these videos are posted on YouTube, onebayarea.us, onebayarea.us. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no other public comments before us today, so the next meeting of the BATA Oversight Committee will be Wednesday, September 10th, 2014 at 9:30 right here. And with that, I'll adjourn this meeting.